I want to give you the second lecture of the HPA series, and this lecture is on 6 levels of processes, issue 5, and now we take up level 2. And level 2 is locational and not no processes. This is an interesting thing that locational processing had any lower southern level. But it did have, and that was starting a session. And when you get all of the various factors involved in starting a session, and when you have these established, you're ready to take up level 2. I remember that you ran maybe the goals, you certainly ran the present time processes, you maybe ran some 8C. We got the pre-clear pretty well indoctrinated that the pre-clear was a pre-clear, and we got him believing that there was an auditor present, he was certainly being a pre-clear, and that there was some other purpose in being audited than being audited. You know, that's all important. And he probably, if he had a present time problem, he's already discovered that the entirety of the situation can alter, because the present time problem processes are quite important, and they're quite effective. Now, in essence, we are trying to get the preclear to communicate with his environment, and that's what we're trying to do. And if we are trying to do that, naturally, we are going to get him to find the environment, aren't we? And so we have locational and not no processes. We are remedying his abundance of communication terminals. We are doing a number of things with him. But he sees the first manifestation of this process in handling the present time problem. Let's suppose he has a present time problem. Let's say his landlady is going to throw him out on the street at 5:00. Let's just say that happened. He already got a reality on this in level 1. How? You had him conceive a problem of comparable magnitude. That's what you said to him. You discussed this present time problem, you talked about it, and it didn't go away. If it didn't go away when you talked about it, well, then you have the next step, which is to have him invent or conceive a problem of comparable magnitude. And then you ask him if there was anything he could do about this new invented problem. He's satisfied then that this new problem is in comparable magnitude to the old problem, see? The one he really has, this horrible, important problem. Now, his attention is entirely fixated upon this problem. That's why you handle a present-time problem, is you're not going to audit this fellow at all if his attention is entirely fixed on a present-time problem, you see? So we show him that this is not important. One of the ways we show him that this is not important is a very, very simple thing. Very simple thing. We ask him to invent a problem comparable magnitude. And he does, and do you know that he will position it someplace in space? You don't even have to ask him to do this. He will do this. And he'll say, landlady, you going to throw him out? Well, that's, he will try to do this with you. He'll say, well, that's like the time when I was kicked out of the army. That's what that is. And he'll try to go backtrack on you. Oh, no, you don't, see. I mean, you know, you say, invent one, you know, figure out one. Invent one. Some kind of a problem that could be happening to you right now, which would be just as big as that. Well, I guess they could be throwing me in jail. That would be a problem. Yeah, that would be a problem of comparable magnitude to being kicked out by my landlady. You say, that's fine. You say, now, is there anything you could do about that? See, that's important. Is there anything you could do about that? You get the wording. Anything you could do about that? You don't say, now, tell me something that you will be able to take care of with regard to that. No, this is a precise wording. We say, is there anything you could do about that? See, we don't push him. We let him say, well, go to jail. Well, I could get a hold of a bail's bondsman, you know, and I could do that. And you say, that's fine. Is there anything else you could do about that invented problem? And he says, so-and-so and so-and-so, you know? And you say then, well, now, is there anything that you could do? Get the wording. Anything you could do about the actual present time problem? And first time he will be able to tell you that there is something he could do about it. Only he would tell you this. He would tell you this if you ask him, You'd say, where was the problem when we first started to talk about it? And he'll say, it was right here, pointing to in front of his face. And you say, where is it now? And if you've had him invent this problem of comparable magnitude, and you've had him tell you something he could do about it, he will now tell you that his present time problem is several feet away. Well, that's not far enough. That's not far enough. So you ask him if he could invent another problem of comparable magnitude. And he does this again. And you are satisfied that he has invented this problem. You don't harass him, you know. You keep ARC and so forth. But you just... he's invented this. And you say, now, is there anything you could do about that? Uh-huh. He said, oh, why, certainly. He's just invented being run over by a fire truck. And he could do about that? He could go collect his government insurance. That's what he could do. Yes, sir, he's something he could do about that. So that's fine. You say, that's good. All right, that's fine. Now, is there anything you could do about that actual problem? And he could say, well, I could write the landlady's brother and tell her what I know about her, or something like that. And if you ask him, you don't, but if you ask him, this problem would now be 12 to 15 feet, maybe, out in front of him. Get the idea? What's he getting? He's getting more space. Well, what about the present time problem that isn't in front of him at all? It's right where he is. He is in it. It is in him, and he is in it, and there is no terminal distance of any kind. So he himself is the problem, and this is what you're auditing. Now, maybe that sneaked up on you kind of fast. But when the problem is right where the preclear is, this problem still works, this problem-solution thing. Can you invent a problem of comparable magnitude, you say? And you would still find that he would get a little distance between himself and the problem. You understand that? You go through this routine of asking him anything he could do about this invented problem. Well, the PC that is standing in front of you is a problem right where he's standing. That's why you're auditing him. Now get that clearly. The problems which are most savage, the problems which are the worst, are where the PC is. See, there is no terminal distance at all. And so he cannot solve them. And he is a succession, actually, of present-time problems. You see this? He's a succession of them. He's in a body. He doesn't like bodies. He doesn't understand bodies. He is surrounded by objects. They will not duplicate him and become nothing the way they ought to. They insist on being objects. These bodies insist on being bodies. He is not happy about this in any way, shape, or form. He is not even vaguely happy about this situation. And so what do we discover? We discover that this individual has become allergic to certain things in the environment, and these things are objects and bodies. Now, we take care of this PC as present-time problem in quite another way under level 2. He is so many problems right where he is that he doesn't know about, and he is in a sufficient amount of trouble with them that we make him spot objects and spot people so that he can see these are at a distance from him, and that they do exist, and that there are other bodies in the world, that there are other communication terminals in the world, that there are objects, that he does have a distance between himself and some objects in this world. And what do you know? He comes up to a level where he can tolerate objects, and he can tolerate people. You see that? And all the time you're giving him more space. And if you did this with consummate skill, a PC in pretty bad shape would exteriorize before you had completed level 2. That isn't what we expect to have happen. And if he did exteriorize, we wouldn't do a thing about it today. We'd simply let him exteriorize, and he told us he was exteriorizing, and we'd say, that's fine, good roads and good weather. Okay? We'd say, that's fine, just exactly how do you feel? And is that right? And your body's down there, and that's swell. And we'd make sure that he knew very well that we were interested in and acknowledged this fact he'd exteriorized. We wouldn't let this drop like a cold potato. We would make him alert to this. He's volunteered the fact that he's exteriorizing. This is an important thing to him. Well, it's not important to you as an auditor. It's only important to you as an auditor today when it doesn't happen. You finally say, what's the matter here? Has this fellow been steeped in glue before he was issued to me as a preclear? All right. So he tells you this, and he tells you numerous other things, and you merely acknowledge these, and you go on running the process. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to show him that there's some terminals out there, that there are objects out there, that there is a plentitude of terminals and objects. Because what do you know? His aversion to a body, his aversion to objects, are not the duplication system. It isn't that they will not duplicate him, a Thetan nothingness. This is not really what it is. It's the fact that there aren't enough of him. He's standing there as one body. There's only one body present. He knows it. He's got to be careful of it. It's something that he has cherished to the end of his days. And these days must be 8,000 years long. Because it's the only body there is of the whole universe. Get the idea? Therefore, he can stand in a queue of people and jostle around until he gets up nearer to the top of the queue, you know? Therefore, he can go out and employ vast armies of criminals and that sort of thing to overset a state. Why? There's nobody else alive. He isn't even living. Really? Because what can echo against one terminal? Did you ever see an electrical engine that could run on one terminal? There never has been one. Never will be one. And the reason why he snaps back on and becomes just one terminal is because the problem of scarcity has overcome him. And the problem of scarcity is there's only one body left in the whole world. There's only this little object left in the whole world, this small rock. You go down to an insane asylum, you're liable to find somebody sitting there gripping to their bosom one scrap of paper. It's the only object in the whole universe. Get the idea? Until he finds out that there are some more objects and there are some more bodies, and that he can look across space and see these things, until that occurs, he isn't going to get any place no matter what you do to him. You're lucky to have started the session with a fellow in this kind of condition. You see, you're lucky to have started the session, but you were good. You were sharp. You were smooth. You did get the session started. You did get some 8C, and you couldn't do much 8C because he was too sloppy, and you decided not to waste very much time on it. We just kind of flatten it off, you know, and get him out there and start spotting bodies and spotting people, because this is a specimen of 8C. See, it's kind of a low-order 8C all by itself, as one of its very, very many facets. And after he spotted objects and spotted bodies and gone through the remainder of the level two processes, we discover that he has some idea that there is something he can communicate with besides his prefrontal lobes. See? Something else in the universe. There are other people standing in the queues. And you know, he'll say, you know, I like people. As you run this process, it will not be unusual as you finish up all of the steps in level two, and there are many of them. When you finish these up, or as you're finishing them up, don't be surprised if this occurs, that your PC, instead of spotting people, goes over and speaks to them. Don't restrain it. You don't care if this occurs. He walks over, he spotted the cop, and he says, gee, you know, goes over and he says, how are you? Bobby's sort of had his eye on you. You were working there, you know. Who were you casing? Who were you putting the finger on, you know? And he walks over and he says to the cop, he says, how are you today? How's it doing? How are your feet doing? Your feet hurt? And the cop says, yes, how'd you know? Now, if he does this prematurely, he will get some resistance from the people he addresses. They may look at him embarrassedly. They may back up from him. They may be unhappy about him. But if he is well progressed and you have done your work well, they will look at him and smile. The meanest, orneriest old crab in the block will look at your PC and smile. And you'll say, good heavens, he's not going up and address him. And he goes up and he says, well, how are you today, you know? And the fellow says, I'm fine, how are you? You say, oh, no. They're talking. Get the idea? Now, in all things, there cannot be too great an abundance of communication. There cannot be too great an abundance of terminals or objects or anything else. You may believe that there is too darn much disease. You may believe that there is too much this and too much that in the world. But you believe that because you've already considered it scarce. This is an unfortunate thing. Or on an upper echelon, you have just denied it out so that you will have a game. A game is the process of successively denying many things. You deny the other side so you can play a game, you see. You deny the other football team so that you can play football. And so you deny war so that you can play at another game. You deny this, you deny that, you deny other things so that you can play a game. Of course, there is a point that you come to eventually where you've denied the whole works, including yourself, and then you don't have any game at all. About that time, you start over again. If there aren't a lot of games in progress around in the society, why, that is what has happened. An interesting process to give you some idea of the scarcity of games, just a step aside from that, you have to have terminals, you have to have communication, you have to have goals in order to have games. And it's an interesting thing that practically every PC you run into is fresh out, not only of communication, but the motive of communication, games. He's fresh out of games, too. And it's fascinating. So that a very, very interesting process, but not one that belongs in level two, but just an interesting process, is one. Is there a game going on anywhere that you could participate in? Your highest level is your pre-clear is fresh out of games. But he is so out of games that he can't communicate with anything and can't have a game, because games are not possible. So it's usually too high a process to run. You just rehabilitate him on communication, usually, and you do fine. Now, what are you doing then? You are showing him that there are other terminals in existence. That's, in essence, what you're doing. But do you explain this to him? No, you certainly do not. Do you just stand there and run the process? No, you don't, because this process requires an enormous amount of two-way communication, requires very accurate and good acknowledgement. You see? It requires a lot of work on the part of the auditor. It isn't a simple thing. He has his PC spotting objects. Well, he goes someplace to spot objects, the museum or the railroad station. We don't care, but he has him spot objects. And if he's going there to spot objects, he spots objects. He doesn't spot everything else, too. See? He doesn't change over and spot people. He doesn't spot other bodies. He doesn't spot anything but objects. He's decided to spot objects, and so that's what he's going to do. And he spots objects. And he goes on and on and on and spots objects. That's what he does. That's the way the process is run. Now, there's an oddity about this process. The very first step of level two may be too tough for your pre-clear to run. But your pre-clear sure as the devil better run it. And if the pre-clear can't run it, then you would just better keep on rolling with level one until you have some idea that your pre-clear could run this first step of level two. Because it's a tough process. It probably does not belong at point A. Maybe at some later date will be changed to later on in level two, but it certainly belongs in level two. And that is the first thing you ought to do on a pre-clear who wasn't too bad off. And this isn't just designed, you know, so that it picks everybody up that's batty and processes them. This is trying to increase ability, and the fastest way to increase ability would be to start level two out with part A, energy sources. Now, you run this in areas. You don't run this in closed auditing rooms. No part of level two is run in closed auditing rooms. You might start this pre-clear in an auditing room, but you could start level one out in the open too, you see. You could do that too. But this is an outside process. This has to do with bus terminals, railroad stations. It has to do with busy streets and busy parks. You understand? Busy buildings. This has to do with places where there are lots of objects, like museums and art galleries and graveyards. Any place where there's something to spot. But you have to use your wits about it, because you're not going to find many energy sources in a graveyard. So when you start in with level two, we must remember that we are going to run it in populated places, and we're going to run it says here, ambulant. We're going to walk this one. We're not going to sit down this one. I hate to have to make the point so plain. I hate to infer that auditors are lazy beasts. I hate to infer this. But you just better toughen up your calluses. Because after you've been at this for a while, and after you've been run on it for a while, you will appreciate its tremendous workability, because it has a double workability. It's showing the person there is some space. If you can't get a person out into the open, if the person is stuck in their house, You just better keep on starting the session and running a little 8C and so forth until they do walk out of that house. There are a lot of things to run in level one. You want to get them outside. You want to get them out to where there's some space, and you want to get them moving in that space. You want to get them walking around in that space. You want to get them changing position. You don't change the auditing room every time, but you take a big enough space so that I say auditing room the size of Victoria or Union Station. Big auditing room. That's a big one. A much bigger one is a big park. And that's the whole auditing room, and you would walk him through this and walk him around it. So you don't take him inside or something like this. And you keep walking. When you have a break, go someplace and sit down. And knock off the audit, more or less, you know. Put a communication bridge in for the break. You're having a break. Don't keep auditing him. Usually what happens is he tries to spill his whole case into your lap the second you sit down for your first cup of coffee or cup of tea. Okay. Let him spill it. Say that's fine. Acknowledge him if he refuses to be human during the break and keeps on being audited. Let him go on being audited. Don't cut the session to ribbons, but start with the next bridge because he probably went out of session 3/4 of the way through the break and you didn't notice it. If you're going to sit down, why take a break and go sit down? Got the idea? And if you're going to audit, walk around and audit. I would hate to say that in no less a place than the center in Washington did an auditor, usually ambitious, finally suborn several of the auditors who were on staff into going out only to the airport because the seats were so soft. And I wondered why these preclers weren't making any advance, and this was the spook factor in the whole thing. Why weren't these preclers coming up the way they were supposed to come up? What was happening there in the center? I started tearing the walls down to find out. And it comes up like this, that they thought they could run something like locational processing and Union Station sitting down in the soft seat of an airport. Oh, no. I know human energy level is low. I know it's very hard to get energy. But walk this one out, please. Now, I'll read you the whole list of steps in here so that you can be appalled right at the beginning. And I wish to tell you immediately that these are not all the steps which will eventually appear. I would say along about issue 8 or 10 would have 20 or 30 steps in it, and this only has a very few. This has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Isn't that easy? There's just 6 steps in the first level 2 as issued in this issue 5. There's 6 steps. And the first one is A, energy sources. Have PC spot acceptable energy sources. Do not permit him to spot statics until he is ready for it. Run until PC can empower terminals. The command is, spot an acceptable energy source. A command is subject to later variation, but as it stands, that's the way it is. Now, why do we run an acceptable energy source? This may be awfully tough. Why do we spot an acceptable energy source before we spot objects? Well, look, we already got the session started, didn't we? We already had him oriented a little bit. We already did a little bit of HC. We had him notice the auditing room and where he was, didn't we? We just got the session started that way, didn't we? But do you know he didn't come up on any reality at all? And you know why he didn't come up on any reality? Because he has no terminals anyplace. He has energy. That's real. The terminals are not real. How about this fellow that sits there and chews holes in his bank, huh? Who eats ridges raw without salt or pepper? How about this chap, Well, he won't find another terminal in any place. In other words, energy, particles of, is more real. And I call to your attention that in Scientology, we actually have states of reality. Things are not, as they are in grammar, quite so exact. Real things are real, you know. That's not true. Things are more real or less real to the preclear. And things like energy are more real than things like people and objects. And until some energy can show up somewhere in the environment, you probably can't get him to spot an object. Yes, he'll look over in that direction and say, uh-huh. Now, we get the difference between running a process and just skating through one. Do you know that you could run a process too high for a pre-clear and have the pre-clear perform like a trained horse? You kind of operate his machinery for him. You know? And he goes through this process, and you say, all right, spot that person. He says, yeah, spot that person. Yeah, I did. And you say, all right, now spot that person. Yeah, that's fine. Now spot that person. Yeah, yeah, fine. Now spot that person. Fine, fine, fine. This guy's walking around about 4 feet below the level of the pavement, see? And we start running this on him, and he has no communication lag. And we find he has no communication lag of any kind. Oh, see here. We're running a machine, and the auditor's doing it. This is a very important point, and one you must never miss. If you're running the pre-clear too high, there are two things missing: communication lag and cognition. These are the two things that are missing. He will trot like a well-trained horse through the whole process. Without any communication lag, without any cognitions. I've seen these people say, I'm a tone 8. You know, I don't know why you're running me on any of these silly little processes. I'm a tone 8, really. I'm really a fine person. I mean, I'm just dashing, you know, and I just all the time. And this person, compulsive outflow, no acknowledgments, you know, bogged in. You run this person on a process, and you say to him, take a little bit later, when in level 3, we say, think a thought, you know, something like this. This person goes, huh, think a thought, yeah, I did. You say, what thought you think? Oh, well, I just thought a thought. Well, what kind of a thought you think? Well, I just thought a thought. And enough. Well, what kind of a thought did you think? Well, I just thought I'm thinking. Well, fine, fine. Now, think another thought. Yep. Think another thought. Yes, yes. Think another thought. Yes, yes. They're so quick. They're so able. There's only one trouble. They're not doing it. The trouble with this person is he cannot play a game. He's trying to brush you off and get through with the whole thing. He's trying to dash through so he can think some private thoughts of his own. And this isn't being audited, and this isn't getting audited, and that isn't doing auditing. See? So he's just going across the top of the whole thing. He's just skating with a skater's waltz across the top of the bank. And it's beautiful, but it's not auditing. Never make that mistake. After you've listened to a person for a little while and he hasn't developed a communication lag and he hasn't gotten a cognition on the process of any kind whatsoever, you were processing him too high. You probably didn't even start the session. You got it? You missed. And that's a clean miss. Because when you got him, when you start him in, you get him at the right level, you start him at the beginning, you bring him up, the first process that develops the communication lag will also develop a little cognition on his part, and you will start to get change in the pre-clear. And if he just skates across the top of the bank, you never get any change in the pre-clear. See what he's doing? Maybe this person was very agile and always got through life somehow or another. Very agile is right. He's an agile pre-clear, as far as you're concerned. Now, just because somebody's flattened the process, there's no reason they're skating across the top of the bank. The funny part of it is you can go on spotting people, spotting objects, spotting people, and so forth, and probably the fellow would always get some cognition of one kind or another. Something would happen. He'd say something. He would occasionally develop a comm lag. Just because his neck was tired, he'd develop some kind of a comm lag. And he would also develop cognitions. Funny thing, after you've got somebody way up tone, he goes out, he enjoys looking at people. Oh, isn't it fascinating what a pass she's got? You get the idea. We have, in essence, a very, very difficult case if we have one that does not develop a communication lag or cognition in the early processes. But I can assure you that the fellow who cannot spot objects adequately and just goes, object, you know, oh, yes, I spotted that object. Object, yes, I spotted that object. Yes, object, I spotted that object. You can run him for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and nothing happens. Why waste your time? Why waste your shoe leather? Develop calluses on somebody else. Or start your session properly and get him pegging in there at the beginning of level 2. And that is energy sources. Remember, energy is real to this person. Energy is real to this person. And that's all that's real to this person. When energy is not real, and terminals are not real, and nothing is real anyway, you won't be able to audit him, because he's not there to be audited. He'd be lying there as a catatonic skits or something of the sort. So that's how far south you're going to ask him to spot some energy. So we spot energy sources, and I've got to tell you about this in a little more detail, because it's right there, the beginning. You can make an error, a boo-boo, with this process. Now, level two goes, I have to tell you quite a bit about these. Level two goes, locational and not no processes. Run in populated places, ambulant. Part A, energy sources. You have the pre-clear spot acceptable energy sources. Do not permit him to spot statics unless he is ready for it. Run until PC can empower terminals. Commands, spot an acceptable energy source. Part B, spotting objects. Have the PC spot objects in a place with ample space and objects. Command, spot an object. Spotting people, part C. Spotting people. Have the PC spot people in populated places. Command, spot a person. D, separateness from objects. Have PC spot objects. He is separate from, then objects separate from him. Commands, locate an object from which you are separate. Also, locate an object which is separate from you. N.E., separateness from people. Have PC spot people he is separate from, then have him spot people separate from him. Commands, locate a person from whom you are separate. Locate a person who is separate from you. Part F, Waterloo Station. Have PC spot people about whom he cannot know something, and then have him spot people he is willing to have not know things about him. The auditor selects the persons in this particular case to keep the auditor in present time. Commands, tell me something you wouldn't mind not knowing about that person. And tell me something you wouldn't mind that person not knowing about you. And that's the entirety of level two. But how do you run it? Well, you run it by starting a session. And you start a session by finding the auditor and the pre-clear in the auditing room and that a session is in progress and handling the present time problem and making sure the goals are there. There are some there, and if they aren't there, put some there with the process. Assign an intention, goal, synonym for you. And make sure that he's a little bit under control by running maybe a little HC on him. You know how mild the HC could be run? Notice the wall. See? Get the idea? And then let's go in there on level two, and let's have him spot an acceptable energy source. Now, what do we mean by an acceptable energy source? Do you know that some people will run right off and start spotting statics, thetans? They immediately start spotting thetans. And then they get sicker and sicker and sicker. R240, in the creation of human ability, conceive a static, has under it, not recommended. It's a tough process. Making somebody conceive a static is actually making them look at a nothingness. And if they are so immersed, they're fresh out of terminals. They don't have very much energy. And you ask them to as-is everything by spotting statics. So, we have as the auditing command, spot an acceptable energy source. What do we mean by acceptable? We mean that. Is there such a thing as a rejectable energy source? No. Not from where the PC stands. Any energy is acceptable. Now, here's the little hooker. He will tell you he'll spot an energy source and spot an energy source and spot an energy source. He'll spot electric light bulbs and he'll spot petrol tanks. He'll spot this and he will spot that. But these are all acceptable to him unless you push him around. And eventually he comes to this interesting impasse. You know, all things are made by life. He will start to cognite. He'll cognite on the third axiom or something of this sort. Eventually. But he'll start cognite about, you know, life produces that. Well, I'm spotting that person over there. And figure, I'm spotting that person. Well, I'll spot these energy sources. Why, that person's an energy source. That person. You right then, auditor, get right in there and pitch. You want to find out if he means that body or that Thetan. You want to find this out. And you want him spotting that body. You don't want him spotting that Thetan unless he is perfectly capable of spotting that Thetan. And you know how you will know if you don't pitch in? He'll suddenly start getting sick. And that will be that. He will say, I don't feel well. Why doesn't he feel well? He's spotting Thetans. He's just kind of mocked it up that, well, let's see, all of the fish in the sea finally made, they all got together and made diesel oil, and so actually it went back to something that formed life in the first place and formed these life forms, so it must be a static. Ha! Ah, good, good. Well, he's fought these statics, you know. Oh, no, you don't. The reason Christian religion went by the boards is because they made people spot space. They said God is in that space. And it made people sick to do it. They weren't smart enough to set up a god, which was a nice big rock. They made people absolutely turn away from a nice big rock. They said, you don't dare set up any of those idols. Do you know those people are terrible barbarians? They're rock worshippers. They worship rocks. Heresy. Kill them all. We're Christians. Murder everybody. We look out into space, and we say, God is there. R-240. See? So when the person says he's spotting, he's got this idea all of a sudden of a Thetan, he's spotting Thetans, and he's getting away with it, and he seems to be perfectly happy about the whole thing. You know what's the test? If he's doing it at the right time, boy, his considerations are changing just... He's getting more consideration changes. He's thinking this thing over, and he starts telling you the axioms, and he's never read them. Interesting. He's never heard of them. And he starts telling you the axioms. He just picked these things up. And he's getting changes, and he's not getting sick, and he's feeling better, and he himself is kind of pulling out of his head, you know? Well, that's the time to let him spot those statics. But the fellow's looking around, and he's saying, Zong, Zong, I spot that light. I spot that. I got that spotted. Now, you know, a funny thing just occurred to me. You know, life really makes all energy, doesn't it? I'll just spot these things around and spot these people in there. Actually, there's nothing. It's a nothingness. You know, that's what it is. And I'll spot that nothingness. Mm-hmm. Add that nothingness. Mm-hmm. You've got a sick creek around your house. Get the idea? So the make and break point, and that's why the word acceptable's gone in there, put in by one of the boys in the 4th London ACC. Acceptable. When I first dreamed this one up, we just had him spot an energy source. And it's acceptable. Something very odd happens. These sources become more and more and more acceptable. What's fantastic? They become more and more and more and more acceptable. At first he says, hate. Oh, I don't know. I don't like to spot those bodies because, you know, they hate there. Now, don't you make the mistake of believing at any time until you yourself get this good and flat that there's any kind of energy anywhere that's not acceptable. Now, for you, running the process, your reality is that certain things are acceptable, you see? The process being run on you... Certain things are acceptable and certain things aren't. And that's your consideration, that's your game, and you will improve that game and come up to where you are. But the final answer is that there is no such thing as an acceptable energy. Now, but as you look it over, you will find this is the case, and I don't ask you to take that as a stable datum. Because it'll stop your own case from it. But, gradually he says, ah, yes, there's a lovely amount of hate coming off of that old hag. Yeah, there's some hate over there. And he first said, you know, I don't like all this electrical energy. It sizzles and snaps. After a while, he says, how lovely. Zzz. Delicious. Absolutely delicious. Very tasty. Ozone. Get the idea? So you run him upscale. Now, if you were to run this process and you were to flatten this process real well, your PC is going to be in pretty good shape. Just all by that. Just go ahead and turn him loose. You ran that process flat. Go ahead and turn him loose. He's all right. Only you've only made a homo novus. That's all you've made. And I don't consider that very far. That's not very good workmanship. So you go on until he himself brings up the subject that he can empower terminals. He's perfectly willing to put the power into those power lines. Now, don't turn around on him suddenly and say, oh, you are perfectly willing to put power into them? Well, go ahead and put some power in the light line. What do you want to do, blow out the powerhouse fuses? And supposing the Precleer didn't do it and it didn't satisfy him at all, you've given him a big failure, haven't you? So the auditing command, at best, if you did that, and it's not part of this process at all, is what do you feel you could empower? What do you feel you could empower around here? What wouldn't you mind empowering around here? Now, I'll tell you something. Granting of beingness is simply the willingness to conceive that other terminals exist. It isn't even putting the juice into them. It's just an individual is willing to concede that other terminals exist. And if he will let another terminal exist, he is then and there granting beingness to it. Do you understand? There's no magic involved. He's saying, I'm willing to let John Jones stand there. Therefore, he is granting beingness. There's no more necromancy to granting beingness than that. Failure to grant beingness is failure to recognize that other terminals exist. And that's the totality of it. And you certainly are going to come up that high with this process. You don't have to empower him. But he'll tell you after a while that he'd just as soon put it out as pull it in, and that's about the end of that process. Got it? All right, now let's go on to another skill. This PC should be able to get power into his batteries from anybody, and anything, and anywhere, and put power into anybody and anything's batteries. You see? He should be able to do that. That would be everything absolutely flat. Well, it might take you a little while to flatten it that far. But the next line up is part B, spotting objects. And you just have the PC walk around where there's ample space and objects, and you tell him, spot an object. Now, there's two real ways that this can be run. You can select the object for him and ask him to spot it. But do you know that that is overthrowing his power of choice more than is ordinarily necessary? The only reason we let the Precleer up here in part F, Waterloo Station, spot objects we select. And the only reason the auditor does is just to keep the auditor in present time, that's all. You know? But it Precleer doesn't need any more of that exercise. Anyhow, let's let the auditor have a break, see? And so the auditor picks out the lady in the green hat and says, spot that lady in the green hat. And the guy says, yeah, yeah, all right. You know, all right, tell me something you wouldn't mind not knowing about the lady in the green hat. That would be the auditing command. But the auditor picks him out, and the Precleer spots him. But down here, look what chaos would reign if you said to the Precleer, do you see that light socket over there? Well, now spot that as an energy source. Wouldn't work, would it? Similarly with objects, where the auditor is left to pick the size, shape, position, and distance of the object, he very often makes the Precleer upset. To the auditor, a nice, sizable object would be a building. To a Precleer, a nice, sizable object, a huge object, an unconfrontably huge object, would be a small pebble. You get the idea? So we run this permissively. We just tell him, spot an object. And he said, what do you mean, spot an object? We'll look around here and see if you can find an object. And he does, and you say, all right, well, just look at it. Oh, that's what you mean by spotting it. Okay. Yeah, well, I'll spot that rock over there. He'll tell you after a while when he's ready to spot buildings or elephants. You get the idea? I meant stone elephants. He's all set with spotting. But because energy sources and objects can be so far out of line with the Precleer's reality when chosen by the auditor that we choose the lesser of two evils, we let the Precleer select. And the funny part of it is the Precleer is probably not able to select while we're running this process. You see? So we just have to coax him along and let him pick them out. We could use such an auditing command as select a comfortable object. But this would not be exactly what we mean, but we could communicate this command to him in that wise, you see. An object which makes you feel comfortable. He'll select some of the darndest things, spikes and so forth. You know? We don't care what he selects, but we have him spot an object. And that is the totality of that. Now, part C is spotting people. And we simply have him spot people in populated place. We take him out in a populated place. We got the session all started. You know, you don't start the session in your home and then walk out to the populated place. You walk out there and you start the session. And you go all through that. Well, how would you run HC in Waterloo Station or something like that? You do. You have him notice the station and so forth and walk over and touch the pillar and come back. Just make sure everything's going along all right. You've got him going and we're rolling. And his mind isn't occupied with something else and so forth. And we finally get it all arranged and we got him going and then we run it. And when we get, see, it's very simple. We just have him spot a person. Now we could say select a person and spot him. Or we could say a lot of other things, but it is a waste of air. Not that we're wasting communication, but we find out that people get very rapid at this after a while. And their selectivity gets very rapid. The certainty is. And we don't want too long an auditing command in that point. So we just tell them to spot a person. Good, that's fine. Spot another person. We always acknowledge. He'll discuss it one way or the other. Get two-way communications. He originates communications. So we'll spot another person. So on. And we run this until it's fairly flat. But spotting objects and spotting people will produce a considerable result, but nothing like Part D. We're sneaking up on him when we have him spot objects because we're going to get him ready to spot D. Now, if you are running with poor ARC with the preclear, you're going to have trouble at point D. You're going to have a reduction of havingness on the part of the preclear, and you're going to have to do the unthinkably, terribly difficult thing of remedying havingness on a PC who can't remedy havingness. And that'll come up every once in a while. So we start to run separateness. And unless we get clearly what we're doing, unless we are very well oriented right up to that point, and we've done all these steps in order, unless our ARC with the preclear is good, unless we're handling this preclear, we're putting in good communication bridges. Don't forget those communication bridges. When you change a process, and there's no bridge in the middle, you've stuck the preclear on the time track, just as sure as can be, because change is time. You change the process. You didn't as is the change with a bridge. And you work this right on up, and you had him run Part D of Level 2, and if you did all of this, you wouldn't ever be confronted with any difficulty. But if you didn't do this, you were liable to cut his havingness to ribbons, getting confused, something, although it's a very simple process. The whole class of separateness processes get a heavy working over. When you want to strip off old auditing, when you want to knock him off from an engram, when you want to get him out of an area he's stuck in, when you want to get him out of an automobile accident after he's been dragged over on the pavement, you just ask him what part of it he's separate from. Get the idea? And this is a workhorse. This is a workhorse command. It just works and works and works for you because it is so easy to translate separateness into the symbol of distance in space. He can see this word, see? And therefore, it's a tremendously communicable word. He can see this word. You say separateness, well, he says, it's there and I'm here and there's space in between. So the word's definition is instant in his recognition of it. And if it isn't, Lord knows what he's doing with these. Lord knows what he's doing, but you should have found that out. You could have found that out in these earlier steps. So separateness from objects is just have the PC spot objects he is separate from, and then objects separate from him. And the commands are locate an object from which you are separate. And the other one is locate an object which is separate from you. Now that sounds like more or less the same command, but when you've run it, you'll find out it's not. You want his separateness from things before you get separateness of things from him. See? You tear him to bits with that second command. People are very unhappy with it if it's run before the first one is flat. All right, now let's go up into this separateness from people. And it's merely the same thing as level 2, part E, separateness from people. Have the PC spot people he is separate from, then have him spot people separate from him. The commands are locate a person from whom you are separate and locate a person who is separate from you. And we just get the reverse look on the same proposition. It's quite interesting, but by the time you have run this far, you certainly know how to run this one. Now, you don't vary these commands. You know the reason why you don't vary auditing commands? It's because after a short time of use, you run out their restimulative characteristics. But if you go varying auditing commands, you introduce new words which haven't been rendered null in the bank. You just take a certain set of words and you run them null, see? You run them on until it's null. and you've just used them so often, they become unrestimulative, you see. But every time you change that command, if you switch that command, you've introduced some new words in, and these won't be null. See? And you're liable to get the pre-clear. He'll say he's confused. What it means, he's suddenly restimulated by the addition of the and. And isn't null, but all the other words in the command are, you see? So you use this same auditing command. Remember, you can agree on an auditing command the pre-clear doesn't like. Pre-clear doesn't like this auditing command. You told him what it's going to be before you gave it to him, and you discussed this with him and so forth, and he doesn't like this. Well, you certainly better know you're processing something better than by rote, because you've got to deliver the same meaning in a slightly altered form, you see? You sure better know what you're doing, because you can sometimes change these things just enough to throw them straight into the soup. All right. Now, we get to that very important process, which we could deliver an 18-hour lecture on with the greatest of ease, called Waterloo Station. And it's part F of Level 2 now, and it's Waterloo Station because it's already been Union Station and Victoria Station with other commands. Waterloo Station, because we hope some people will meet their Waterloo here to make a banjo. Now, the essence and skill of running Waterloo Station is already contained in spotting objects and spotting people. He can designate, he can look at things. He's really locating communication terminals because he has energy sources flat. Now he's looking for terminals. And now we want to exercise a brand new faculty. And this could stand all by itself, but it's the same class of processes. But something new has been added, and that something new is this. We have to get him to take over the automaticity of not knowingness. That's in essence what he's doing. He automatically forgets. He automatically unknows the last moment of time. He automatically unknows his past and ages it in some automatic fashion. He hasn't any control over his not knowingness, and he goes obsessively forward trying to know, to know, to know. He becomes just obsessed with this idea to know. We don't care what rationale sits behind this. We do know that forgettingness is automatic. We do know this. And we know then that not knowingness, which is the highest statement of forgettingness, when it becomes automatic, can suddenly occlude or shut off parts of the pre-clear's knowingness. Understanding is a low order of total knowingness. If you ever wanted your pre-clear to attain total knowingness, you would certainly have to take under your control not knowingness, wouldn't you? He has to not know at will. What is time but a sequential not knowingness? He has trouble with time. He's having trouble with not knowingness. The automaticity of his not knowingness is something that must be taken under his control. There's a law operative there, and it's a very interesting law. Whatever the pre-clear finds out of his control comes under his control when he does what it's doing. You have the pre-clear do what the automaticity is doing, and it'll come under his control. And the most automatic thing he is doing is not knowing. He's obsessively knowing and automatically not knowing. And after a while, even his not knowing machinery breaks down and leaves him in a total blank. He gets into foul condition on this automatic not knowingness. He expects the bank to forget things for him. And so we just take this right out and we start right in on people with Waterloo Station. We spot those people. The auditor spots them. He says, "You'll see that lady over there in the pink hat. Tell me something you would not mind not knowing about that person." And that is the auditing command. Subject to change and refinement, but boy, you'd better be careful with that one. Now, that's the most permissive command of this type. And you do it the same way you do the rest of them. But tell me something you wouldn't mind not knowing about that person. That is the auditing command. And there's a reverse command. After you've gotten that one fairly flat, the next session you run, tell me something you wouldn't mind that person not knowing about you. And that's a harder one to run. Why? Because they don't know anything about the pre-clear. So it becomes a misnomer slightly. So you better make sure that first one is real flat before you run the second one. And if I were to choose between these two processes, I would omit the second one entirely. And I would simply ask the pre-clear to run this one. Tell me something you wouldn't mind not knowing about that person. You understand? That must be flat. We don't much care about the other one. Got it? We don't care too much about the other one. But it's a process, and it belongs there. Whether you run it or not, it's up to you. All right. Now, what is so difficult about this process? It's because an individual cannot easily not know when he first starts out. So we run it very permissively. We say, tell me something you wouldn't mind not knowing. Well, wouldn't mind not knowing they have a hat on. Got it? Now, you want him to not know in that original stage things that he knows. You don't want him to not know things he does not know. Get the idea?
Yes.
Now, the only place we've ever come a cropper in development and theory to amount to anything in Scientology has been over this ridge of not knowingness. And I can be very sure that somebody else is going to get tangled up, because an awful lot of good Scientologists have gotten tangled up with this. And this is no invitation to be tangled up, but it is an invitation to learn the following facts. That you are making a postulate, that you are having the preclear make a postulate to the effect that he does not know something. And that's a lie. The native state of a preclear is that he knows everything. He has to say, first postulate, not know. Second postulate, I know something. Third postulate, I forget it. Fourth postulate, I am now remembering. Good heavens. Remembering is an alter-isness of a not-isness of a lie. That he knows a somethingness. He knows everything there is. You see that? So we have native state, knows everything there is. First postulate, he says he doesn't know about something. Second postulate, that he does know about that thing. Third postulate, he's forgotten what he knows. Fourth postulate, he is remembering what he has forgotten that he knows. Which all depends on a not know. And the basic test of this is, does it work? And this is a terribly important process, and one that you must not overlook, and one that you must flatten on a preclear, and no matter how horrible it may seem to you, one that you'll just have to stick with to get cases busted up properly. Now, one of the ways of illustrating this to preclear is to say, well, he doesn't know what you mean. You say, tell me something you wouldn't mind not knowing about that person. Well, I wouldn't mind not knowing that person's name. You say, did you know the person's name? And that's right at the beginning. No. So therefore, I wouldn't mind not knowing it. Cute. You know where he's going from there? He's going straight into confusion. You're going to start re-stimulating the confusion of the bank. He's saying he not knows what he already not knows. You want to give him an exercise. You want him to exercise a faculty. And this faculty is not knowingness. And you want him to make the postulate again. You want him to make this postulate over and over and over and over and over until it's no longer an automatic postulate. And this is the only way we know how to do it, this arduously. This is a tough one. But we've got to make him do it. So we say, all right, now, preclear, we say, look at that wall. Look at that wall. It has a door, and it has a frieze at the top, and it has some light strung along it. Now, which one of these things I have mentioned wouldn't you mind not knowing? Which one would it be all right for you to say, I not know that? And he says, well, who built it? I wouldn't mind not knowing who built it. You say, no, PC. It has a door, a wall, a frieze, and some lights. Now, which one of the things I have mentioned wouldn't you mind not knowing about that wall? Tell us this. Huh? The lights? I wouldn't mind not knowing that whole string of lights. Now, you haven't said to him, did they immediately go out? Did they disappear? Did they go by the boards? Oh, you're slipping, fella. You didn't say that. He says he wouldn't mind not knowing. That's all you want. That's all you want. Because pretty soon he's going to get up into a basis where he can occasionally say, well, I wouldn't mind not knowing the lights. And they go, no lights. That's cute, isn't it? It's likely happened. He will be processed on this for about 5 hours or 6 hours, and all of a sudden he'll say, well, I wouldn't mind not knowing the lady who just passed by. And he'll look, and she'll be gone. There won't be any sign of a lady to him at all. She'll be missing. And he'll say, erp! I did it! You say, what do I do now? You get right in there with two-way communication, see? You reassure him. You say, is that fact? Well, congratulations, you know? Fine, that's fine. Now, tell me something else you wouldn't mind not knowing. Make nothing out of it, you know? And he'll say, I'm not so sure. I don't want to do that again. You'll get him back to a point where he'll do it. Because remember, your command was always permissive. The individual could eventually run on this command. Not know that door. No door. You get it? Not know this mob of people. No mob. You get the idea? to his physical body's eyes, he would do this. But you are not really heading for such a goal. And so we keep the command very permissive, and we say, tell me something you would not knowing. Now, we get the skid phenomenon, which is quite important. And the skid phenomenon is simply this. He tells you something that he's not knowing, and then he tells you, but the person's name is Joe. See, he goes from first postulate to second postulate. He skids. First postulate, zoom, second postulate. All right, if we tell him actively to don't know what he already doesn't know, we get into this interesting confusion that he is confused. We say, tell me something you don't know about the person, which was the first command and is terribly successful in people who can do it, with auditors who can really roll it. And the person says, I don't know his name is Joe. That's a skid thing. But we don't run the process this way today. We run the process, we get a minimum of these skids, but we'll have the pre-clear, increasing his knowingness all the time. Why? Increases his knowingness continually because we're putting not knowing under his control. A PC does not dare know everything there is to know in one brief instant. He has to not know some of the things that he knows before he can selectively know. Do you understand that? Otherwise, he's in a native state sitting in Nirvana, and Nirvana's awfully crowded these days. Got it? All right. The second level is an exterior thing. It is something that could occupy the whole of five consecutive intensives, always producing results. How long are you going to run a pre-clear on it? Well, I can tell you candidly that you will probably run him on it 20 to 25 hours at least. If you don't run him on that many hours, you won't get all the benefit out of it. You run everything flat that's there. I would say if you were doing professional auditing and you ran this type of a process, you went along on it very smoothly and nicely and neatly, you would get away with it, maybe, if you only ran this for 12 hours. Maybe you'd get away with it. Now, I can revise my estimates of time, but there is the most benefit there is in six levels of processing, is level two. And it only gets benefits if you pay attention at all times to level one. But there is terrific auditing, and there is a tremendous number of cases busted. And there's a bunch of guys in a lot better condition than they've ever been before. So it's an important thing to run that as flat as you can run it. Thank you very much.